Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hey, Election Day is getting close. If you haven't voted yet, be sure you do. So let's look at the two candidates who want to be our commander-in-chief. Neither candidate has ever served in our military, and both have selected vice presidential candidates who have been. One served 4 years as our president, the other has served almost 4 years as the vice president. But we can judge them by what they've actually done. Ms. Harris recently said that she has no disagreements with President Biden's actions, so we can expect more of the same from her. Our military has been in pretty good shape under Trump. Today, our military is really good at using pronouns, but not so good at being combat ready. Under Trump, our economy was in great shape. Remember gas at $1.60 a gallon? Not so today. Under Trump, no enemy dare started a war. Under Biden, Harris, we have wars in both Ukraine and Israel, and more pending. There's no doubt in my mind how I'm voting. Please make your choice rationally, not emotionally. Do your own thinking and make up your own mind. And I'm delighted to welcome a new sponsor to the show, Patriot Mobile. They're America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they put cause ahead of profits. And that's why I'm proud to partner with them. To learn more, go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. That's patriotmobile.com/frontlines. Hey, get a free month of service when you use the offer code frontlines. Okay, joining me at the 50-caliber microphone today is, of course, Marine vet Skip Coriel. Skip, every time I think of you, I think of Big Buck. What's that leading me to?
Well, Colonel, I am so proud. I am just happy as a pig in mud because few days ago, I shot the biggest buck of my life. You know, it's archery season here in Michigan. And I shot this 12-point buck. He's just huge. He dressed out at 210 pounds. I'm just so happy. That buck will feed my family, my three teenagers, well, for about 2 weeks, actually. They eat a lot. But no, I'm very happy about it. Had a great time. I got some good pictures. And just real happy about it. And everybody's healthy, so it's all good.
Here's what we have for you today. On News and Comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss hatred in America. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Then Mrs. Christy Rogers will discuss her family service to our nation and her concern for our children's education. Then we'll meet Chet Gladchuk, our Naval Academy's athletic director. Next, we'll review last weekend's Surface Academy football games. And Diane Raver will present the movie of the month.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. And now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. And we'll start with the news. Take us there, bro.
Well, Colonel, German Chancellor Olaf Scholz said that a project to possibly supply Turkey with Eurofighter jets was an effort being driven by Britain and was in the early stages. Quote, it is something that will continue to develop, he said, when asked about potential movement on the issue at a press conference in Istanbul with Turkish President Erdogan. The Eurofighter Typhoon jets are built by a consortium of Germany, Britain, Italy, and Spain. Asked about this, a British spokesman said, we continue to make progress on the potential export of Eurofighter Typhoon to Turkey, an important NATO ally. Quote, when considering any potential export of Eurofighter, we work closely with the governments of Germany, Italy, and Spain, in line with the commitments each nation has made to support the others' exports, the spokesperson added. Ankara said last year it was in talks with Britain and Spain to buy Eurofighter Typhoons, though Germany objected to the idea. Since then, it has complained of a lack of progress on the issue, and Erdogan alluded to Berlin's reluctance until now.
The Eurofighter Typhoon is a very advanced fighter. At least part of the issue here is Turkey's strong and growing support of radical Islamist groups in the region. Stay tuned.
And SpaceX has been awarded contracts worth $733.5 million by the U.S. Space Force to carry out 8 critical launches in support of our national security. This marks a significant expansion of SpaceX's role in deploying crucial military and intelligence satellites into orbit, reinforcing its leadership in providing reliable, cost-effective access to space. The contracts, awarded under the National Security Space Launch Phase 3 Lane 1 program, include 7 launches for the Space Development Agency and 1 for the National Reconnaissance Office, with the missions expected to run through 2026. One of the primary focuses of these newly awarded contracts is the continued expansion of the SDA's Transport Layer, a network of low Earth orbit satellites designed to provide secure, resilient military communications. This constellation, which is expected to eventually consist of 300 to 500 satellites, will offer low latency data transmission to enhance global military operations and connectivity for warfighters.
Our Space Force was created to help defend our nation, and it's good to see these steps forward. Go Space Force.
And Russia has deployed its nuclear-capable RS-24 JARS missile systems closer to NATO's borders, raising concerns across the West. According to a statement from the Russian Ministry of Defense, strategic missile units are conducting intensive exercises along patrol routes that stretch up to 100 kilometers, signaling Moscow's intent to remind the world of its nuclear capabilities.
Well, one of the ways Russia is fighting the war against Ukraine is this attempt to scare NATO and other nations that are supplying Ukraine with weapons. The implied message here is that if Russia gets hit with Allied weapons that were given to Ukraine, Russia may make a nuclear response. Russia's leadership is unstable, and they could do this. It's a dictatorship, so there's no need for approval here.
And in a bold display of military cooperation, U.S. B-2 stealth bombers struck Houthi weapons bunkers in Yemen earlier this month with the help of Australian airbases. The strikes targeted underground storage sites used by Iranian-backed Houthi forces, a powerful message aimed not only at the Houthis but also at Iran. Though the Australian Department of Defense has not confirmed whether B-2 bombers took off from its territory, they did confirm providing access and overflight for U.S. aircraft from bases in northern Australia. This reflects a growing strategic alliance between our nations, as Australia has been upgrading air bases to better accommodate our bombers. While it's unclear if the bombers took off from Australia, our refueling tankers operating from Australian bases have been confirmed. The cooperation signals Australia's commitment to supporting our efforts to maintain security in the Red Sea and disrupt Houthi capabilities that threaten global shipping. The strikes show Australia's growing role in U.S. military operations and also underscore the increasing integration of both countries' forces under initiatives like those aimed at countering regional threats, particularly from China. With more U.S. bomber deployments expected in Australia, this partnership is clearly on the rise.
While not unexpected, this kind of working together against evil nations is good and effective, and we've done it before.
And the Israeli government said a drone targeted their prime minister's house earlier this month, though there were no casualties, as Iran's supreme leader vowed Hamas would continue its fight following the killing of the mastermind of last year's deadly October 7 attack. Sirens wailed in Israel, warning of incoming fire from Lebanon. The military said dozens of projectiles were launched. The Israeli prime minister's office said the drone targeted his house in the Mediterranean coastal town of Caesarea, though neither he nor his wife were home. The barrage comes as Israel considers its expected response to an Iranian attack earlier this month and presses its offensives against Hamas militants in Gaza and Hezbollah in Lebanon.
The unwillingness of the UN to condemn Iran is adequate evidence to say that we should no longer be financially supporting the UN. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a veteran, in getting involved and getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel, and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with Christy Rogers. At ease, troops, take a break. Silver has increased 24% over the past 15 months and is a solid financial investment. Silver is projected to continue its rise and is nowhere near its 2011 high of $49 an ounce. So there's still a lot of room for investment growth. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coria with your home defense tip of the week. Most home invasions occur when people are at work between the hours of 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. Because of this, we highly recommend the installation of a home security video surveillance system. These systems are easy to install and cost only a few hundred dollars. They allow you to monitor your home while you're at work via your computer or cell phone. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
It's time to switch to Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support the First and Second Amendment, the sanctity of life, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Just go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. Get a free month when you use the offer code frontlines.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. Troops, even if our economy wasn't a mess, with inflation going crazy and prices up out of sight, I'd still recommend that you do some investing in precious metals, gold and silver. I encourage you to join me in purchasing these solid investments from Universal Coin and Bullion. You can find them at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. And now it's time for comments by the Colonel. I learned something about the human condition when I was in high school. I realized that people tend to hate those who fight evil far more than they hate those engaged in doing evil. What led me here was the way in which many people reacted to communism and anti-communism. To my amazement, a great many people, specifically all leftists and many, though not all liberals, hated anti-communists far more than they hated communism. Because of this sort of early preoccupation with good and evil in high school, I hated communism. Hey, how could I not, I wondered. Along with Nazism, it was the greatest evil of the 20th century. Needless to say, as a Jew and as a human, and my mom was a German Jew, I hated Nazism. But as I grew up after Nazism was beaten, the great evil of my time was communism. Communists murdered about 100 million people, and all non-combatants and all innocent. Stalin murdered about 30 million people, including 5 million Ukrainians, by starvation. Mao killed about 60 million people. Pol Pot and his Khmer Rouge killed about 3 million, one out of every four Cambodians, between 1975 and 79. Then the North Korean communist regime killed between 2 and 3 million people, not including another million killed in the Korean War started by the North Korean communists. For every one of the 100 million killed by communists, at least a dozen more people, family and friends, who were terribly affected by the death of their family member or friend. Then add another billion whose lives were ruined by having to live in a communist totalitarian state, their poverty, their loss of fundamental human rights, and their loss of dignity. You'd think that anyone with a conscience or any degree of compassion would hate communism, but that wasn't the case. Indeed, there were many people throughout the non-communist world who supported communism, and there was still an even larger number of people who hated anti-communists, dismissing them as cold warriors, warmongers, red baiters, and so on. Presently, we're again witnessing a phenomenon, hatred of those who oppose evil rather than those who do evil, with regard to Israel and its enemies. And on a far greater level, Israel is hated by individuals and governments throughout the world. Indeed, Israel is the most reviled country at the United Nations, as well as in Western media and, of course, in universities. Israel is a liberal democracy with an independent judiciary, independent opposition press, equal rights for women, gays, and its Arab population. Hey, 20% of the Israeli population is Arab. Its enemies, Iran, Hamas, Hezbollah, they allow no such freedoms to those under their control. More relevantly, their primary goal, indeed their stated reason for being, is to wipe out Israel and its Jewish inhabitants. Hamas and Hezbollah have contributed nothing positive, absolutely nothing, in Gaza and Lebanon, respectively. They exist solely to commit genocide against Israel and its Jews, and they are supported by the UN, actually, but not officially. Now, why do so many people hate anti-communists more than communism? And why do even more people hate Israel than hate Iran, Hamas, and Hezbollah? My best guess is that it's emotionally and psychologically difficult for most people to stare evil in the face. Evil is widely described as dark. Hey, it's not dark. It's easy to look into the dark. What's far harder is to look at a blinding bright light. Perhaps that's why Lucifer, the original name of the Christian devil, comes from the word light. I guess the people refusing to call evil evil is probably related to a lack of courage. Once one declares something evil, one is morally bound to resist it, and people apparently fear resisting evil. The fools who mock Christianity, whether through the work of art like Piss Christ, a crucifix in a jar of urine, or the Paris Olympics opening ceremony that mocked the Last Supper, or the Los Angeles Dodgers honoring the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, men in drag dressed as nuns, they'd never mock Islam. They fear Muslim wrath, but not Christian wrath. Yet Islamic wrath has done and is doing far more evil in our time than Christian wrath. And there's one additional reason for hating Israel. That's Jew haters, better known as anti-Semitism. The people who introduced a judging God and gave the world Ten Commandments have been hated for thousands of years, but not those who systematically violate those commandments. It's time for our nation to get our values on right and in the open and support good and oppose evil. And just maybe we should return to God. And those are my comments for today. Americans owe our freedom to the sacrifice and courage of our heroes in uniform. Did you know you can support our military, veterans, and first responders by using your cell phone? Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They put the cause ahead of profits. That's why I'm proud to be a partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to while giving back to our heroes. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support Folds of Honor, Tunnels to Towers, and more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your phone number, keep your phone up or upgrade. Just go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. That's patriotmobile.com/frontlines. And get a free month of service when you use the offer code frontlines. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some more wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
Have you ever heard of the Euro-NATO Joint Jet Pilot Training Program? This is the program that started about 43 years ago in 1981 as a way to improve interoperability of NATO air forces, reducing training costs, and offer an alternative training location to those cloudy skies that are often found over Europe. 14 NATO countries participate, including Belgium, Canada, Denmark, Germany, Greece, Italy, the Netherlands, Norway, Portugal, Romania, Spain, Turkey, the United Kingdom, and of course the United States. And they all gather at Shepard Air Force Base in North Texas. With 207 aircraft flying about 250 missions per day, the joint training program makes Shepard Air Force Base one of the busiest airfields in the entire U.S. Air Force. It is completely normal for a student to fly with two different instructors on the same day and five different instructors throughout a five-day work week. It's also completely normal for all of those instructors to be from different countries. It's basically become a pilot factory, training over half of all U.S. Air Force fighter pilots. And it's the sole source of fighter pilot training for several NATO countries, such as Belgium, Denmark, and Germany. More than 8,300 pilots have graduated from the Euro-NATO training program since it started in 1981. However, in the early 2000s, it was starting to look like this program would come to an end. We even had one four-star general describe the program as a Cold War relic. However, since Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine, the program has come back on the forefront. You know, interest in this program is now really high, but meeting the demand has become a real challenge due to two limiting factors: aircraft spare parts and simulator instructors. Now, it's not that they don't have enough airplanes. They just don't have enough spare parts to put in those airplanes. One of the main aircraft that they use is the T-38 jet, which were built in the early 1960s. So the average age of those aircraft is about 57 years old. And in 2022, the school had to reduce the class from 24 to 18 students because of the lack of parts for the J-85 engine that powers the T-38s. You know, one of the most unique aspects of this program is the bonds that pilots forge with allied nations. One former U.S. Air Force student said that his earliest memories as a military aviator are going to be forever linked to the allies he shared those memories with. Whether it was the German instructor pilot who taught him how to fly the T-38, or the Italian student pilot who flew his wing on their first formation solo flight. It's these bonds that could make a huge difference in future conflicts involving NATO forces. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I always appreciate your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with Mrs. Christy Rogers about serving in uniform and getting our children educated. Then we'll talk with Navy Athletic Director Chet Gladchuk. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Do 50, then stand at ease. If you ever have to defend yourself or your family, you will likely need legal support, as there is almost always an investigation. After you call 911, call U.S. Law Shield so you can have immediate legal support. This is why U.S. Law Shield was formed. They're here to help people through events they never thought would happen to them. Their attorneys are available 24/7, 365. Learn more or sign up at uslawshield.com, promo code Frontlines. That's uslawshield.com, promo code Frontlines.
Veterans have a unique perspective on healthcare, foreign policy, and federal spending.
Concerned Veterans for America provides veterans and the military community a chance to share that perspective and drive change that will make Americans safer and more prosperous.
Want to join the movement and the thousands of activists in our grassroots army? Visit cvafrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome Mrs. Christy Rogers to the show. She's the wife of Army vet and former FBI agent and former Congressman Mike Rogers. She has a son in the Navy, and she served in combat. And she has a serious concern about the way our children are being, or maybe not being, educated. So welcome, Christy. Thank you for joining us today.
Hey, good morning, Denny. And thank you so much for having me this morning. And also thank you for your service as well and to all your listeners.
Thank you, ma'am. Christy, Mike always tells me about you had time in combat, though you were not in military uniform. Tell us about Mike's service and yours. Were you two ever in a combat zone together? I don't know that much of the story.
Oh, no, we were not in a combat zone together. Though I would say some instances in this political campaign feel like combat zones, but in all seriousness, I did serve over in Iraq with the Department of Defense as a civilian in late 03 through 04, well, mid 04, it wasn't quite a year. I was attached to the Coalition Provisional Authority, and there's actually only one province I've not been to in Iraq, and that is actually Fallujah. Every time we were headed there, we got turned around because something bad was going on. So it was an extraordinary experience. And actually, you know, it's sort of the old cliche, best of times, worst of times. I wouldn't trade the experience and what I learned about people, about humanity for anything. So it has really shaped me and my views going forward. So I'm very thankful for it. Though, as I said, some of the times were some of the hardest of times.
Well, I certainly relate to that. Times in combat zones or... Mike was in the FBI and my whole family's been in law enforcement. It's the same, only different. And the best of times and worst of times is the best way to describe it. So you did that.
I did. Yeah. I and it was interesting because last night during Mike's Senate debate, his opponent was actually saying, you know, a few things that she served alongside the military. And I do thank her for her service as an analyst. But it is different when you are out in the field, as you well know, Denny. And Mike will often refer to it. I never used to, but I'm getting a bit more comfortable. Yeah, I did survive an IED attack, a roadside bomb, traveling actually outside of Baghdad. We were actually headed north. And we were also involved in a not so pleasant sniper attack, which, of course, we also escaped unharmed in that one. Unfortunately, in the IED attack, there were several people that were not as fortunate as I was. So again, as I said, you know, it does shape one. And as you said, Mike served, we did not serve anywhere near each other. He actually served, as I joke with him, you're several years younger than I am. So no, he's several years older than I am. Actually, no, it's just 7 years older than I am. But he was an army officer in the infantry division. He actually was ordnance, not infantry division. He was ordnance out of, was it Fort Ord in California?
Okay. But you know, what you were describing that you went through, in a little bit, that's the kind of thing law enforcement people go through.
Yeah.
They're not being shot at every day like infantry in combat, but every minute they're vulnerable to being shot at. And my son just retired from the police department, and I tell him regularly, I got shot at 10,000 times more than you did, but you were more at risk because I was only at risk when I was in a combat zone. You're at risk every day. So
that's true.
We serve in slightly different ways, but we serve. Okay. Were you married to Mike when he was in the Army?
I was not. I was actually not married to him then, and I was not married to him when he was in the FBI, though I often tell him I would love to go back in time and just be sort of a, you know, a fly on the wall. He was in the FBI. He was organized crime in Chicago. So he did mafia investigations. And he is one of the, he's very humble about this, but he's one of the youngest, most highly decorated organized crime FBI agents in Chicago's history, I believe. He had three extraordinary cases, almost simultaneous. One that started off as a human and sexual trafficking case that he actually was able to bust successfully. And then the other ended up resulting in the mayor of Cicero and her husband, who was a police officer, going to jail for public corruption. They were on the take by the mafia. But Denny, if you ever get Mike, maybe at a downtime and want to ask him a story about the mafia, he will actually even throw in a really good mafia accent as well. So he's got several of them.
Well, he is a character in all kinds of different ways. And he's fun to talk to. I know that. That's always been the case when he and I have been together. Okay, this is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Christy Rogers. Your son is a Naval Academy grad. And I remember when you mentioned that, because as a West Pointer, I had to yell beat Naviors. I didn't actually, but in my head I did. And he's a submariner?
No, he a cyber warfare engineer and was stationed in San Diego. Yeah, it's Mike and I both come from actually with four generations of military service on our side, both sides of our family, with John's son being the fourth generation. And he a cyber warfare engineer, you know, so he's doing all the things that we want our young military officers to do to keep the bad guys in cyberspace off of our military equipment. And that's probably all I can say, but we are extraordinarily proud of him. Mike is Army, right? So it was very funny. And Mike's brother, his older brother, who's a retired two-star general, graduate of West Point, when Mike told Jim, it's Jim Rogers, that John was going to the Naval Academy, there was dead silence on the phone. and Jim was not kidding. Mike actually thought he was joking. And he's like, oh, come on, Jim, it's your nephew. You got to be proud of him. These are great military institutions and higher learning institutions. And still, Jim said nothing. And Mike said, all right, Jim, I'll make this really easy for you. I added up all of my years in the Army and what I was paid as a young officer and what it would cost me to send John to a top five engineering school in the country. And I said, go Navy. we had an extraordinary experience watching John go through the Naval Academy and honestly, literally adopting, if you will, 11 of his, at that point in time, fellow midshipmen, now all young officers. But when you know this, Denny, when you're at the academy, you can have a sponsor family. And that's somewhere where you can go to eat, sleep, and do your laundry when you've got downtime. And we ended up, we were very fortunate to have a small condo just across from Annapolis. And we ended up having 12, because that included John, young midshipmen, for 4 years every weekend. And it was amazing to watch their growth, you know, as these young 18-year-olds coming in to just these incredible leaders and the transformation that they all had. I mean, we've got, you know, we've gone to weddings, we've seen births of babies, because they did graduate 5 years ago. I hate to date myself, but they did. And we've got, we have young pilots, we have a Navy SEAL, we do have submariners in that group. And then of course, John is a cyber warfare engineer, and it's just amazing. It's amazing to watch the growth, but I will tell you, and this pains me, and it breaks my heart and Mike's heart, but it's one of the reasons why we decided to get back into the political game. Some of the stories that we've been told over the past 4 years by these incredible young officers are heart-wrenching. And one of them actually said to us, "I don't think the military is worthy of my service anymore." And Mike and I thought about that, and we, you know, we asked him, he's like, well, what do you mean? And he said, "We've been docked on our ship for months. We can't get the appropriate maintenance. We don't have enough equipment. We don't have enough ammunition. And what they're having us do in terms of DEI training consistently, as opposed to actual mission training, is frustrating to all of us." And Denny, I got to tell you, all, as you know, when you go to academy, you've got a commitment of a minimum of 5 years. It's 9 years if you're a pilot that you serve. And all of their 5 years are coming up this year, and their commitment. And 10 of the 12 are getting out.
Ouch. But I've been watching what's been going on at West Point and the Air Force Academy and the Naval Academy, and I hear the same thing over and over again. Okay, yeah. There's more to talk about with Christy, and she's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Yeah, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do. Well, I used to before I got into my mid-80s. Then take a break and stay in the area. We'll be right back.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer when you shop at patriotfoods.com. We give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com. 10% off, promo code FREEDOM, and shop today.
When considering precious metals investments, credibility is paramount. That's why I chose Universal Coin and Bullion. They have a long-standing reputation in the industry that instills confidence in investors. Plus, the company's president, Dr. Mike Fulgens, is recognized as America's gold expert by his peers and the U.S. government, and was named Dealer of the Year by the American Numismatic Association. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Mrs. Christy Rogers. We just spoke about the military service that she and her family's experienced. Now, Christy has one big concern about children and our future. They're the future of our nation. So, Christy, we got time now. Talk to us about literacy, education for our kids.
Yeah, excellent. Thanks, Denny, for asking me this question. Mike and I have been involved, oh my goodness, for at least a decade in what we call the silent crisis in the United States, and that's our low literacy rates. Now, for you and for your audience, a stark fact, an example of our low literacy crisis is there are four top reasons why we are missing, we the big we, the United States, are missing all of our recruiting numbers for the military branches. Number one reason is these young recruits cannot read well enough to pass the tests or read the tests. They can't read well enough. In Michigan, for as long as they've been recording scores on education, proficiency tests, and literacy levels, Michigan rates now 43rd worst in the country. That's the worst rating that it's been on record. 57% of all high school seniors cannot read past sixth grade level. I mean, we are not setting up our children for success. If you cannot read in the fourth grade, at the fourth grade level, you have a 70% chance of either being in prison or poverty and on welfare. I mean, these are staggering statistics, and it is 100% preventable. We've been involved with this organization in Michigan, and it's actually called Beyond Basics. Incredible organization. And they have a secret sauce. It's called phonics. You know, my mom was a second grade teacher. My father-in-law, Mike's dad, was a shop teacher at Redford Union in Southeast Michigan, and then went on to be vice principal. Both said phonics, you know, get back to, as my father-in-law said, reading, writing, and arithmetic, the three R's. But if you just, Beyond Basics uses what they call a reading reclamation program based on phonics. And depending on the student or even an adult, their reading level, they can get you up to 12th grade reading level in 4 to 16 weeks. And that's just an hour a day using this program. This is something, as I said, that's preventable, this low literacy crisis across our state and country. And it's something, honestly, that we all need to be concerned and worried about.
That makes a lot of sense. My wife was a special ed teacher for a while. And yeah, what you're saying is unfortunately very, very true. I didn't know about Michigan's horrible rating.
That's terrible. Just terrible. And, you know, it's interesting because it's not the teacher's fault, right? I mean, if you're a ninth grade teacher and you get 60% of your class not reading at even the sixth grade level, what are you supposed to do? I mean, this is not fair, not only, of course, not fair to the students, but it's not fair to the teachers. And, you know, it's unfortunate because the answer from the administrators is all of these special different programs, these different things they want to be teaching the kids, as opposed to focusing on what's really important and what's going to set them for success. I think if there was a silver lining in COVID, again, if there was, it was the fact that there was a bright spotlight shone on what our schools are teaching our kids and what they're not. And parents have become engaged and outraged, rightfully so.
Yes. When I note some of the non-truth that kids are being taught in school or lack of history, I blame the parents. And that's certainly true here. I mean, yep. I knew what my kids could read. I never thought about evaluating, but he can read and you know, we can look at stuff together and he knows what he's looking at. Well, I guess that was 50 years ago, but it's yeah. Parents need to be involved, need to know, and certainly the schools need to be standing up for this. Well, I agree with you totally.
Yeah, it's definitely something I say when Mike gets into the Senate, we will continue to focus on both in our private capacity, but also, you know, with Mike's platform and what he can do as a senator representing Michigan at the federal level.
Well, that's truly not just something important. That's critical for our nation, for, yep. I mean, this is ridiculous. And I wonder if that's related at all to the fact that we have an awful lot of kids that are way overweight. Is this another just indicator of the system, their parents, the culture not paying attention or not caring?
I think so. I think so. And I think it's part of this social media culture as well. You know, where they're just glued to their iPhones, their smartphones, you know, and a lot of times you actually really don't have to read and communicate. You can communicate via emojis and of course not full sentences. So I do think that's part of it. But as you said, this is just not unfortunate for our children. This is an economic and national security concern for the entire nation. And you know, if you actually, well, we actually did. I'm also on the advisory council for Barbara Bush's Foundation for Family Literacy. And that's a nationwide organization. And we did a joint study that was actually before COVID, but released during COVID, which it didn't get much attention. But it was with Gallup poll, but with Fortune magazine. And it found that if we could get 90% of students in the 12th grade reading at 12th grade level, upon their graduation, we would add $1.7 trillion to our economy in a year.
That's very logical.
Yep. They can get good jobs.
Yes. And do them well. Wow. Christy, I'm glad we're having this conversation because I'm getting educated. I guess old dogs can still keep learning things.
Denny, it's great. Yeah. The more people we can talk about this and getting engaged, getting someone to say, hey, you know what, maybe I can spend an hour a week and mentor a student or, you know, mentor a young adult. It's worth all of our time to do so.
How can listeners learn more about this and or start doing something?
Well, they can actually go to the Beyond Basics website. I know they also have a couple of programs in West Michigan, and Beyond Basics is spelled just like the normal words. We also have some information on Mike's website, which is rogersforsenate.com. Just because we're so passionate about it, as again, we think everybody needs to be aware of this and do what they can, you know, and hold the administrators and schools accountable.
This is Colonel Denny Gill on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Christy Rogers. Christy, you mentioned that Mike is, and he is, I know he is, running for Senate. Tell our listeners who might be interested in learning more about him and his campaign and or assisting, how can they get in touch with you? What other kinds of things are you standing for?
Well, you can get in touch with us very easily. It's Rogers, and that's R-O-G-E-R-S, for Senate.com, and that's F-O-R. So Rogers, F-O-R, Senate.com, it's all one word. You know, as I said, Mike, former FBI agent, former Army officer, served in the Michigan State Senate, served and represented Michigan in Congress and rose to be chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. He then got out on his own volition because he does not think and believe that politicians or politics is a lifelong career, that we actually need to have a House and a Senate that is representative of different people, and they need to come and go, right? You need lawyers, but not as many as we have. You need military officials. We need doctors. We need small business owners. We need farmers. And so Mike got out, and the last nearly 10 years, you know, he's been in the private sector and has gained an inordinate amount of experience. But because he and I both believe and were, you know, talking over the past couple of years, looking at what's happening, I mean, everything just seems broken. The high cost of, right, you know, price of groceries, gas, our electricity bill, you know, the just dismal education and literacy performances on behalf of our students. We just felt that we needed to get back in the political game because, and I firmly believe this, that my husband, that Mike, can walk in day one and help fix this. He's got the credibility. He has the integrity. He has the proven record that when he says he's going to do something, he does it. And he knows how to fix this. You know, I put my wife hat on. I'm like, oh my God, what have we gotten ourselves into? This political environment is just toxic. But I put my Michigan citizen hat on and my U.S. citizen hat on. And there's nobody I would want more than Mike Rogers representing us in this time of, as I just say, you know, crisis. The world seems on fire.
Well said. Christy, thank you. Thank you for your excellent comments, for your and your family's service to our nation. I'm proud to call you friend and be supportive of you.
Hey, Denny, as I said, thank you so much for the opportunity and thank you for your service and your sons as a police officer. Incredible.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with the athletic director of our Naval Academy, Chet Chadsla. Then we'll discuss last weekend's Service Academy football games. Next, Diane Raver will present the movie of the month. And of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. U.S. Law Shield is a part of the Frontlines of Freedom team. If you have weapons for defense of your family and yourself, and if you ever need to use a legal weapon, you'll need legal defense. U.S. Law Shield is the team my wife and I use. Go to uslawshield.com and use the promo code Frontlines. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom Troops. It's time for pull-ups. Do 40 good ones, maybe 20 more push-ups. Grab some protein, rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.